Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Well, the Bidenites are at it again, and they're trying to thread the needle for as long as they can or until November. Okay, shout out to Hugh Fitzgerald for that term, Bidenites, as in a fantastic article that was written on Front Page Magazine, which can be found, by the way, at frontpagemag.com. Well, we'll get into this. Welcome back, America. I'm Cicely, and you are tuned in to my absolute pleasure and gratitude to another episode of The Savage Truth. You know, I always ask, and I am so grateful that you do follow suit. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this. Now, Americans, citizens, people, Tax Day. Tax day just went by. Okay. I barely got through it, to be honest with you. And I just share something with you. It's not fun. Okay. In my household, my husband's always crabby, really short, irritable around tax time, but we got through it. And that's because we pay in, as you can probably imagine. But it just made me think about the tax. It made me think about taxes as we're paying taxes and we pay in. We don't get a refund, obviously. But it made me think about interest rates. During the Trump era, 1.2% interest rate. That's what Joe Biden inherited when he got into office, a 1.2 interest rate. The reason why that's important is because I just want to be very transparent with you as I read you some things here. Let me just flat out start this show out by saying you need to vote for Donald Trump in November. But for no other reason, just for your pockets. Okay, do it for your kitchen table issues. Do it for your pockets. Do it for your financial future. Do it for your children. 1.2%. I need you to understand truly how important, how significantly low that is and the implications of a 1.2% interest rate. Okay, folks felt rich.
Okay.
Folks felt rich. At least free financially. They were able to afford things. They were able to do stuff, right? Go places, buy things, have money in their pocket. That's what Biden inherited, okay? That's what it was like when Biden first got in office because he took over right after Donald Trump, who did a superior job as president and watching out for regular working Americans and their financial future. But, there's always a but, okay? A senile but coming up for what's going to happen for the next 4 years and what Bidenomics has in place. Now, this is written down, by the way. Do not take my word for it. Don't listen to me, okay? Don't take my word for it. Go look it up because it's written. It is literally written. Like the Bible that I read every single day, okay? It is written. What Bidenomics has planned for you all, for those of you who are still undecided or you just can't get past Donald Trump's personality, so you're going to put a senile man back in office for another 4 years. Here's what to expect for those of you who are planning to do that. Written. Small business tax hike. Now, right away, I'm upset, okay? Because I'm actually trying to start a small business for myself right now, and there's already a tax on small business, but he's going to hike that up even more. Corporate tax hike. If you own a business, you'll pay more, okay? You will absolutely pay more if you own a business. And by the way, don't forget, with that owning a business, that corporate tax hike, your stocks will be less. You'll be paying more to the government, which means less money for your shareholders. That's what you can expect for the next 4 years. Corporations pay twice, by the way. Keep this in mind, okay? The way our tax system works. Corporations already pay twice, okay? Under Donald Trump, that corporate tax was 21%. Joe Biden is making it another 7% higher. He wants it at 28%. Now, when you add the 28% plus the state tax that the corporations are going to have to pay, they're going to get the corporate tax up to 32%. Now, here's the significance of that. China. China is charging only 25%. You will literally pay in America corporate tax that's higher than what China would charge, okay? That's what Bidenomics is all about, okay? So you got to understand what's going on here. You have to get informed, people. You got to find out what's going on. Capital gains tax, okay? Dividends, selling your house, right? If you sell your house, okay, and you wanted to kind of make some gains on that house that you stayed in, and you had this appreciative equity that you earned, and you sell that house, it appreciated, and it went up $300,000. Joe Biden wants some of that, right? He's going to cut into that, all right? There's a dividends tax hike that's coming. Income tax hike. Ugh, that's painful. Again, I just went through this. The money you earned and look forward to getting back for a lot of you working class people. Hey, I'm one of you, okay? Working class people, those who punch clocks, right? You look forward to getting that tax rebate. That's the money that you paid in. You're hoping to get it back so you can do some things with it. Joe Biden wants to take some of it. He wants to take more of it, actually. And this one hurts me the most. A second, not a first, because it's already crazy taxed, a death tax, a second death tax. Now, if you live in Minnesota, this one right now, depending on your age, should actually have you packing your bags and looking for another state to go, because it is expensive to die in Minnesota. Okay, but that's Bidenomics, folks. That's what's coming up. That's what you can expect. And I, for one, am just telling you, if you can get past personality and focus on policy, you will make the right decision come November. But welcome back to The Savage Truth. I'm Cicely Davis. Bidenites are at it again, as I said, showing their true colors, really, truly. Threading the needle, dancing that jig, that tenuous dance of appealing to the American people, to which only 34% of them actually approve of this, of his performance from the highest seat in the land, by the way. Only 34% of people in America actually approve of Joe Biden and his performance. He has to keep Ilhan and Rashida Tlaib and Bernie and Cori Bush and, you know, the fire drill puller man, okay, the Michigan population that decrees death to America on a regular basis, and the ones who hold up the Brooklyn Bridge and ties themselves together, blocking traffic and emergency services, the ones who protest on college campuses, and those who block traffic for the State of the Union address. He has to keep all of them happy because of the position he took to try and out-radicalize, out-progressivize Obama. So Joe Biden is actually focused on Obama, by the way. Okay, he's trying to out-radicalize Obama, you know, go further left than Obama did. So now he's in a situation. He has got a situation. Keep the communist crew happy, and at the same time, keep the independent moms, the working class, the middle class happy, trying to ensure them that he cares about those kitchen table issues, which he clearly doesn't, considering that tax list that I just read to you, right? Those kitchen table issues, gas, groceries, college tuition, taxes, rent, mortgages, insurance premiums, availability and affordability of utilities, goods and services. Those are your kitchen table issues. He's to try to appeal and make people think that he actually cares. When you read that list, you hear that list and you see it written, you recognize that he does not care. And also appeal to young demographics, the ones who are concerned about the economy and how they can't afford to live on their own unless they have three or four or five other roommates, can't afford to buy a house under Bidenomics and have to live with mommy and daddy for many, many more years. And the other young folks, circling back to bad policies, his bad policies, by the way, the young ones who have been influenced and lied to about America. Being lied to about America being a racist nation, only caring about whites. He has to keep them on the line as well. They are the ones who are on the college campuses. Constant walkouts from class. They're shutting down streets and highways, and they're shutting down guest speakers, interrupting them, booing them, you know, harassing them from the audience who visit the campuses with a different point of view. He's got to keep them happy as well. He's trying to appeal to them as well. Uncle Joe is in a tough bind. So let this be a lesson, folks. Be true. What do I always say at the end of every show? Be true. Be true to who you are. Hold true and steadfast to your values. And care not. You can't care for those who oppose your values, because you'll end up with a lot less really good sleep at night. Okay? Less rest and relaxation. You need to be confident in who you are and not a slave to people and their opinions. I call it people bondage. You cannot care what other people think. You have to have a set of values. You have to stick to them. You can't worry about those who fall away from the wayside. caring so much about what other people might say or what they might think, what their opinions are of you, okay? Joe Biden doesn't stand for anything other than destroying this country, and he's losing, as he should be, this bout for president for a second term. Thank God. But back to what I started on, okay? Joe Biden tells Israel to turn the other cheek, okay? Turn the other cheek. The number one ally of America, not to retaliate for Iranian attack. You got to listen to this. So a senior official in the Biden administration told the NBC network that U.S. President Joe Biden, U.S. President Joe Biden, told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in their telephone conversation that while the American commitment to defend Israel is an ironclad commitment, the United States will not participate in offensive actions against Iran. Who's surprised that the Biden administration would take this stance? Now, according to the official, Israel should take the win of its successful interception of 99% of the drones and missiles launched by Iran rather than retaliate. Now, this is by the Israel National News. So I want to make sure I give reference to where I got that information from. Now, let's accept something. Let's face something. Let's make a statement here. We got to recognize that this Iranian attack was a miserable failure. Thank God. Thank God for the Israeli people. Israel was able to intercept 99% of the drones that Iran sent over, the Iranian drones and the missiles, with the help of some allies like us, the U.S. and U.K. and France and Jordan. But the fact that Iran failed does not in any means mean that they should not suffer consequences for that attack. They still need to suffer some kind of consequences to make it clear that this will not be tolerated and, most importantly, impossible for Tehran to try again. Okay? This is important. We got to focus on this right now. Zero in on this with me, folks. The Biden administration seems to think Israel should just be satisfied with having escaped harm. Their advice is to take the win, again, to turn the other cheek. Hey, I know those people tried to take your family out. I know they tried to kill you. I know they tried to ruin your business. I know they tried to take you out and completely obliterate your very existence, but they failed. So you know what? Don't worry about it. Take the win. Now, I know they'll try again, but they failed this time. And so because they missed, they shot over a missile and they missed. They dropped a bomb and they missed. And so because of that, consider that a win. Turn the other cheek. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Let me confirm this so you know that I'm not just talking out of the side of my neck here, okay? Let me confirm this with another member of this disastrous, weak administration. I'm going to use Kirby, John Kirby, you know, the National Security Council spokesman. John Kirby was interviewed on NBC's Meet the Press program. When asked if the Iranian attack could or has led to a wider regional war, which, by the way, is a great question, it's a logical question. Do you think this will lead to a wider regional war? Great question. Listen to this guy. Okay. This is his response. These are the people in lead, by the way, people. Okay. This is from the Biden administration. Here's Kirby's response. He says, and I quote, "The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever. What Israel demonstrated last night was an incredible ability to defend itself. Just their own military superiority was quite remarkable yesterday. Israel demonstrated again that they're not standing alone, but that they have friends. The president's been clear. We don't want to see this escalate. We're not looking for a wider war with Iran." So let's be clear on Kirby's response and what you just heard, okay? What you heard is weakness and political sidestepping. This was a dodge, a weak stance. You just saw dance moves from Kirby. Iran tried and they failed. Yes, that is very true. Hey, Israel, your enemy yet continues to destroy you and your every existence, and they failed. Right? They didn't get you this time. Be glad of that and keep on moving. Please don't retaliate and wait for them in their next attack. Guess what? Israel is not looking for a wider war either. And now, ironically speaking, they ain't no punk, okay? Meaning this, they're not going to just lie down and allow their enemy to continue to attempt after attempt to take them out without serious action and retaliation. There is no hesitation or fear or weakness coming out of Israel. But there is, however, coming out of the Biden administration. The American military used to be that. Used to be strong, noble, right? No hesitation. We made it clear to our enemies that we are not the ones that you want to mess with. We are not the ones that you want for enemies. You want to be on the American side, okay? But not since the Bidenites took over. Now, they're more interested in making sure that our troops can transition. That's more what they're interested in now. DEI, make sure our troops can transition, okay? And pick the gender that they want to be and how many troops are of color, right? That's their focus. So this military attack was not just aiming for military facilities. Yes, Nevatim Air Base and the Dimona nuclear reactor were two of the sites the Iranians were aiming for. But they were also had missiles headed towards Jerusalem, which the IDF shot down. Again, Israeli military is on point, okay? They are showing strength and no hesitation. They could have hit Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome of the Rock. Another target was apparently the Golan Heights, the site of both a military outpost and several civilian towns. This would have meant complete devastation. So apparently, Biden spoke to Netanyahu late on Saturday night after Iran launched an attack on Israel involving hundreds of drones and missiles. In a statement following the call, this is what Biden wrote, Uncle Joe, and I quote, "Earlier today, Iran and its proxies operating out of Yemen, Syria, and Iraq launched an unprecedented air attack against military facilities in Israel. I condemn these attacks in the strongest possible terms." Great. Whoopee ding. Great, Joe. You condemn them. But what are you going to actually do about one of the most overt, and thanks to you and your administration, most overt, active, and funded, what are you going to do to completely halt Iran's attacks on Israel, knowing that America, okay, is next on their list? What are you going to do? That's the question. What are you going to do next? Because believe me, we are next on that list. Why we are literally funding our enemies. So this article written by Hugh Fitzgerald, I do encourage you to go read that. But let me make a statement. It's one thing for Biden to refuse to have American military take part in an Israeli attack on Iran. I'm not suggesting war, folks. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. What I'm saying is we need to show strength. We need to make our presence known. And we need to stand with our number one ally in the Middle East. But what that would mean would be an open American forces in the Middle East for retaliation, not just by Iran, but also by its proxies. But it's quite another thing for Biden to say that he opposes any attack at this point by Israel on Iran. That's just simply asking too much of Israel. To refrain from retaliating after such an enormous and potentially devastating attack by Iran. Israelis must feel that they have to teach Iran a lesson so that it will never try to attack again. We need to send a message to Iran globally. We need to shut them down. Israel, like any other free society, must show that they can, they must, and will defend itself from enemy assertion, and should have the backing of their friends to enforce and aid in fending off their enemies. It's a basic request. It's a basic way of operations on the globe. Now, before I move on, let me say this. Kudos for Israel, as always, as a force that doesn't hesitate and has a will to survive and thrive without fear, to protect its own and stand for freedom. What Israel should do for their own preservation is attack the Islamic Republic's storehouses of ballistic and cruise missiles and its drones, as well as their nuclear facilities, as it is now just a few months away from having enough enriched uranium for three bombs. Okay. Again, having been funded by America. We need to demilitarize Iran to enhance the world's security and stability, truly. But to also have, or to be an example, believe it or not, to America, Israel military can be an example to American military, to the Biden administration, what Israel is capable of and what it can achieve. Love it. Kudos to Israel. And now, the meat and potatoes, the story I'm super excited to get to because it's so juicy and it makes me laugh. And it just, it pleases me so. I can't wait to say this. Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, was suspended from Barnard College for her involvement in anti-Israel protests. Now, I'm sure you're not all surprised, but my former opponent's daughter revealed Thursday that she has been suspended from Barnard College over her involvement in disruptive anti-Israel protests on Columbia University's Morningside campus, at which sources of demonstrators were arrested. No one's surprised by this, considering the mother. Okay, seriously, there's no surprise here. But here's what the daughter wrote. I just received notice that I am one of three students suspended for standing in solidarity with Palestinians facing genocide. I'm an organizer with CU Apartheid Divest at Columbia's SJP. In my 3 years at Barnard College, I have never been reprimanded or received any disciplinary warnings. Now, the other students got arrested, but okay. She's 21 years old, folks. Now, she attends a very prestigious college, of course. None of the elites have their kids at city colleges, okay? They're all at prestigious colleges, running amok, wrecking the campuses, walking out. I talked about that in the beginning. She's 21, and she's a reflection. She's a living example of what the communist class are breeding here in America, who will be participating and shaping America's political realm in the future, I'm afraid, and you should be too, when my generation, Generation X, will be seniors and a Hirsi, okay, an Ilhan Omar's daughter, Hirsi, will be running around trying to outdo her mother's performance in Congress. She will undoubtedly try to be even more left than her mother, even more hateful, even more America-hating than her mother, without a doubt. She's already gotten started. She's ahead of her mother right now at 21 years old. Hirsi was one of more than 100 protesters who were hauled away in cuffs by the NYPD Thursday afternoon after they erected a tent city on the campus of the $90,000 per year Ivy League school, of which her mother can easily afford. Okay. By late afternoon Thursday, the protests had dispersed and cleaning crews were brought in to disassemble and remove dozens of tents that littered the campus. This is what these kids are doing. $90,000 a year, and this is what you do? I need you to read a very expensive book or something else. Find something else to do. As the daughter of a controversial and outspoken congresswoman, whose own eyebrow-raising statements have led to accusations of being anti-American and anti-Semitic. These aren't accusations, okay? This is real. We have it written. Again, it is written. Hirsi has spent much of her life attending demonstrations because she is the daughter of Ilhan Omar, and she is no stranger to activism towards the destruction and hate of America. She's had 21 years of modeling and molding in this fashion, and now she's taken it on her own. She's attended her first protest, or she had attended her first protest at age six years old. Okay. In 2015, at 12, Hirsi joined her family at a Black Lives Matter protest that forced Mall of America, the largest mall in the country, right here in Minnesota, to shut down over 200 police officers, including 50 riot cops, to restore order. Now, on Thursday, Hirsi and the two other students, identified as Miriam Iqbal and Sofu Dinu, received notice of their suspension from Barnard Dean Leslie Greenidge, the anti-Israel student group Apartheid Divest, which was stated, was said in that statement. And here it is, and I quote, "This decision is based on information received from Columbia University Public Safety that you have been involved in an unauthorized encampment of the Columbia University campus, and you have not ceased participation in this unauthorized encampment despite repeated requests from Bernard and Columbia on April 17th of 2024 that you do so." The dean's email read, according to the student group. Okay, so the Bernard Jr., because she's a junior in college here, who is one of three of Ilhan Omar's children, shares with her ex-husband. Okay, so she's a child of her first husband. His name was Ahmed Hirsi. She shared footage of herself participating in the controversial protest a day earlier, calling it a huge historic moment. This is Ilhan participating in with her daughter, sharing and creating all those great college moments. In a follow-up tweet revealing her suspension, a defiant Hirsi said protesters will not be intimidated. She's just so confident. And of course, rightfully so, she would feel that way. And I quote her, "We still stand resolute until our demands are met. Our demands include divestment from companies complicit in genocide, transparency of Columbia's investments, and full amnesty for all students facing suppression." Let me read that again, what their demands are. 21 years old, $90,000 a year. Okay. "We will stand resolute until our demands are met. Our demands include divestment from companies complicit in genocide." This is a 21-year-old telling companies what they can and can't do with their money. "We want transparency of Columbia's investments," because I have the right to demand that, "and full amnesty for all students facing repression." Oh, I find myself laughing so much when I'm doing this. This is ridiculous what we're reading here. These are the times we're in, folks. If you want to get America to snap back, please run yourself up in a booth in November and vote right. Not just right, but right. Okay? Vote correctly. Vote Donald Trump in so we can get rid of this 21-year-old snot-nosed brat and get her to just show up to school, sit down, learn something, take a test, graduate, and become a productive child of society. That's what she needs to do. But I digress. Hirsi, who describes herself on X as an angry black girl, as if America needs more of those, has fired off a barrage of tweets at the school's anti-Israel protests as she rages on, including one post by her mom saying she was in solidarity with rallying students. What a surprise. Of course she did. Of course she's in solidarity. Of course. And why wouldn't Hirsi show signs of backing down? No signs of backing down. I'm sorry. She's watched her mother achieve fame and fortune and notoriety for doing the exact same thing with little or no consequences. Whatever consequences there are, she's not in the least bit worried. In fact, because she has a famous congressional mother to bail her out, and it builds her resume for when she's ready to take office, right? Here's the savage truth for today. Even though Mommy Dearest was booted from Republicans from the powerful and really important Foreign Affairs Committee in February last year over her anti-Semitic comments, it has not stopped her from continuing to be a major player in Operation Destroy America as an operation currently out of D.C. She is an angry Marxist militant in the making, and we better get smart about who we're dealing with and be prepared for much more to come when Trump's in office. Okay, so when Trump's in office, we're going to see a lot more people piling in the streets and holding up bridges and shutting down classrooms and creating encampments on businesses' lawns and college campuses and God knows who else and where else. Much to come, or in the future, if we don't head Biden off in November. Again, if she were a MAGA student, okay, she would have been absolutely arrested, not just suspended. Even if she were the daughter of a MAGA Congress member, she would have been arrested without a doubt with the quickness. Our high schools and colleges have become woke factories for the next and upcoming generation of socialists, Marxists, and communists. They are angry. They don't really know why, other than they were told to be by boomers and Generation X professors who are still not over their bra-burning days, okay? Their flag-burning days, and the I hate America sentiment. So this young girl, who is the mother of an immigrant, who is a multimillionaire now, afforded to a school that many, many other young Americans only dream of attending, but can't because of their lack of financial resources, says she's angry and she's an organizer for Palestine. Before that, it was Black Lives Matter. And after Palestine, it will be something else. She'll find another cause or something else as anti-American to attach to latch onto and become, because she has chosen to become, understandably, what will bring her notoriety and fame and ultimately fortune if she works it in the right way. The enemy is within, folks. The enemy is within. Of course, the definitive meaning of that phrase refers to people within a society who are believed to be secretly trying to damage or destroy it. That spot on defines the squad. Spot on defines Bernie and Jeffries and Schumer and Pelosi and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It still includes Obama and, of course, Soros and others. But the ones who will suffer will be us, the regular Americans, the jokes on us, who love this country, actually care about its legacy and wish for health and happiness and freedom to self-determine and live a safe, prosperous life. That's who the joke's on. We want to give to others, but we'll stand strong against those who mean us harm. God help those who have decided to make us their enemy, because without that threat, we're just a shining gem of freedom and success and faith and happiness. We know we're on top. We're confident in our position. We are really, truly winning, folks, just so you know. And we welcome folks. We welcome you here. Legally, we welcome you to become a contributor to our liberty and our freedom. Keep in mind that Somali in Minneapolis, where I live, where Ilhan represents, who represents, doesn't live as she does. She doesn't live as they do. Her pursuits are not to get them to become elite, but to remain the working poor. And that's what needs to be revealed about the rest of her squad members as well in their respective cities. They only care for their own prosperity and to see that their constituents as a way to obtain, they see their constituents as a way to actually obtain their power and their riches and to help them in their steady increase of wealth. So ultimately, this suspension just doesn't mean anything, means nothing, but to only further build up an angry socialist. And God knows we don't need any more of that. So what did I say to start with? Please, folks, get to the ballot box in November. Irrespective of personality, vote policy so we can shut down a Hirsi and her mom and many others that are like them. Okay, those who are building camps on campuses and tents and things like that, we got to shut down and shut down this tax list. We have an opportunity to do so in November. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, as I stated in the show, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.